The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So today I thought to explore a practice question that was submitted. I'll read a part of the question. I feel that my practice is sometimes on the verge of becoming overthinking, overanalyzing. The overthinking spinning occurs when I'm examining causes and consequences / my actions. I sometimes can't discern if I'm practicing or doing something else entirely. So this, to me, it's kind of a question about, it's a question about practices. It's a question about how to explore or investigate or be curious about our experience. Indicating here the, examining causes and consequences in my actions. So that aspect of practice where we're looking at and curious about causes and conditions, which is a topic that we talked about quite a bit in the earlier, some months ago, we were really exploring causes and conditions and how we can explore, how we can learn with causes and conditions. It's an understanding that's very supportive for us as we begin to see that experience is conditioned, that there's a kind of a tumbling on of conditions. We start to recognize that the sense of I or me in there is just another part of the same conditions. And we begin to see with that tumbling on also the impermanent nature of experience, the conditioned nature of experience. And it supports us to let go of how we tend to cling to experience. So many of the ways that we're conditioned, are kind of that we're conditioned in habits and patterns that tend to lead us towards suffering. And we tend to identify with that being me or mine or who I am. And then as we begin to actually witness the processes at work, we begin to see that, for instance, frustration arises in particular conditions, and we see that it's just happening and that it's not like I'm deciding, like I decided I'm going to get frustrated. It just happens. And so we start to see that as a happening, and our mind begins to learn and understand the conditions that lead to those habits and patterns and begins to shift its ways. It's a little bit of trust, actually, that the observation of being with our experience, learning about our experience, as much as I described with the naturalist and the guided meditation, the kind of showing up, and it's like, well, what's actually happening here? Who comes out and how do they interact? And so, that kind of curiosity begins to help us understand some of how the challenging patterns unfold, and also supports the mind to begin to let go of some of those habits and patterns. It seems counterintuitive sometimes that simply looking at habits and patterns like that would actually shift and change them. But that does seem to be what happens when we observe those habits and patterns with curiosity, not with judgment, not with frustration, not with trying to fix or change them, but just like, well, what is that pattern? Let's get to know it. Let's see what it's about. With that kind of attitude of mind, that kind of curiosity to be with the pattern, to be with what's happening, the mind begins to learn something about that habit and pattern. And in learning, one of the key things it learns about that habit is, or those unwholesome habits, is that they are suffering, that they are painful. And because our mind just is kind of built or designed to not want to suffer, to kind of move in the direction of well-being, that's, I think that's a very foundational thing about our human system. It wants to move in the direction of well-being. But the way our minds work, there's all kinds of ideas and thoughts that get in the way of the process, or that contribute to the process by which we think we're heading towards well-being. And, you know, those thoughts and those beliefs and those ideas convince us that getting rid of something or having something is what will make me happy. And so those ideas and beliefs and views are not letting us really see that that movement of aversion, that movement of clinging, that movement of holding on is actually suffering and stress in the moment. And so as we pay attention, as we explore being with these habits and patterns, our mind begins to learn, oh, this pattern around aversion, it's not actually helping me. The mind begins to learn that. And so the mind begins to let go of that habit and pattern. And this does take trust. It does take trust that this kind of being with, this kind of curiosity, can lead to that kind of transformation. So one of the pieces about this question, so I was just basically, you know, so far just talking about the value of exploring the conditioned nature of experience, the value of being mindful, the value of being with our experience. And yet it is so often, I think, when we talk about exploring, getting interested in, looking at, observing our causes and, you know, causes and conditions, what's happening in our minds, that we, some of those words, especially investigation, explore, things like that, sound like an activity of figuring out, sound like a doing. And I'd say pretty frequently, it's certainly not at all uncommon for people to kind of in that process of curiosity about or exploring, well, what led, you know, what's happening here? How did this come about, that we start to think about it? And we start to try to think back, like what happened before this and what happened before that and what happened before that? Or what happened in my childhood that's connected with this even further back? You know, we might start to do a little bit of psychoanalysis on ourselves. So there's an analyzing process that tends to happen when we hear the language around investigate, be curious about the causes and conditions, the whys of our experience. That tends to be something that can happen in our practice. Now, it's not, the actual encouragement is not to think about what's happening, but that can be a tendency. And so if you do find when you're exploring or curious about, in this case, it says, when I'm examining causes and consequences, my actions, this overthinking happens. And so if you're noticing that, and the description in the question was a spinning, you know, so a kind of a quality in the mind of just lots of thoughts. If that's what you're noticing, then probably set aside the way that you're exploring in that moment and see if you can perhaps shift to that perspective that I was offering in the guided meditation, that of being with, just being with experience. The being with is a, you know, it's a curiosity just about what's here in this moment. It's not trying to figure out how I got here. It's just opening to what is here. And what seems to happen as we do that, as we open to what is here, just we could say, instead of trying to figure out why, we are looking at what is happening. Just What's here? What's in this moment? What's in this moment? And how about this moment? And what's here? And so that being with is a really looking at just what is here in this moment. And as we explore that, as we explore being with experience, the kind of momentum that builds, there can be a little bit of a momentum of mindfulness, a little bit of continuity of mindfulness that begins to build. And then we're seeing moment after moment what's happening. So what's happening in this moment, and what's happening in this moment, and what's happening in this moment. And we begin to see that in the being with, as we're with experience moment after moment, we start to see that we naturally will start to see some of the whys. We're not looking for the whys, but they can be revealed as we just observe. So an example from my practice, I was looking at, and I can't remember all the various things that I saw here, so this will be an abbreviated exploration, but it went through several kinds of understandings, several kinds of layers. So I was practicing at a retreat, and I was experiencing a lot of doubt. I was doing walking meditation, and I was like, should I even be here? And so that was what was going on, you know. So on retreat, that sometimes happens. It's like, okay, well, that's what's going on. Let's see what's here. And so I would just continue doing the walking, and I was just like, be with the feeling of the doubt and be with the walking. And then sometime during the walking, maybe a path or two later, I was doing back and forth walking, a thought arose in my mind about something like, can I afford to be doing this? Because it was a long retreat. So there was the idea of, wow, this is expensive. You know, I have to, you know, this is, can I afford this? I stopped at work to dedicate my life to practice. It's like, so those thoughts were coming up, along with a thought of like, am I worthy? Am I worthy of having given up my job to do this? So what I saw is that those thoughts were there. So there was the sense of the doubt was there, and then connected with that doubt was a sense of, am I worthy to have given up my job? And then right with that was, and can I afford this? You know, so there were some pieces there. Now those, I wasn't looking for those as why am I feeling doubt? I was just with my experience, and that's what appeared. Those were the thoughts that were there, and that was what I could see. And as I kept going, I didn't like stop there and go, oh, well, that's why I'm feeling doubt. You know, I just kept going. And the next layer that came out was like fear. It had to do with fear of how am I going to take care of myself? How am I going to keep going? How am I going to support myself? You know, not having a job, what am I going to do? And so that was in there. And so there was the fear there. And so I just noticed that and kept going. And the next layer was a feeling of vulnerability. And again, this is revealed. This was not my trying to look for. And what's the reason I'm feeling doubt? These kinds of just through the being with experience, these showed up. So some of it, you know, some of it had to do with in the moment, you know, in the moment at the retreat, thoughts and feelings, and others were more connected to my choices from further back in history. And so sometimes as we just sit with our experience and don't explore looking for the why, but just explore moment to moment. What is happening? What is happening? What is happening? Things will show up like thoughts from the past that are kind of in the field of our minds in that moment. like for me, the thought of, you know, I gave up my job, you know, oh my God, you know, what am I going to do? And that was in the field. And I wasn't really, I wasn't aware that that was in the field until I was just doing the walking and saw it. And so that was a little bit of a hint or an understanding. Oh, the mind is a little bit thrashing around that decision. There's concern there. And then as I kept observing and at the layer where the mind finally landed and just kind of felt like, oh, this is what's actually going on, was with vulnerability. When in the back and forth walking, you know, having seen all of these thoughts, it's like, wow, I feel really vulnerable. I feel like I don't know how I'm going to live. And it's like, oh, vulnerability, you know, this is actually a truth. This is the nature of life. And as I landed with that, then that was a place where the mind kind of, I mean, it wasn't comfortable, I would say it wasn't comfortable, but the mind stopped producing all kinds of like excuses and thoughts. And it's like, oh yeah, vulnerability, that's what's happening here. So that was a kind of a situation where the being with the experience began to reveal a lot of different threads of what was going on, not by my trying to find them, but by my willingness to just be with what's here right now. So the, you know, in practice, I would say investigation is more about a being with what's happening rather than trying to figure something out. The causes and conditions, the conditionality behind experience may be revealed as we just explore being with what's here in each moment. So it can create, there's two pieces. One is that we can see some kind of, sometimes we can see the causes and conditions from some historical reasons. So I often tell the story about kind of really deeply seeing into the pattern of self-hatred in my mind. And on one particular retreat, there were two threads that really, one pattern, one thread that was seen again through just watching what was going on as self-hatred was coming up. I could see the mind, you know, bringing back all kinds of things from my personal history and responding to those thoughts in the mind. So, you know, so relationships from the past and things that had happened in the past and the mind kind of responding, it's like, oh yeah, that happened. And that was a really horrible thing. And, you know, kind of creating the self-hatred with that. So there was some understanding of some of the historical pieces of why this being had this pattern. But then there was this other moment that I described where the mind saw that in the precise moment when the self-hatred came up, what was going on was that the mind picked up one of those thoughts and started believing it. And so it was like the mind saw the conditionality of in this very moment, how self-hatred was created, not like the historical, like long pattern of history of it, but just this moment's arising. And that actually was very potent seeing when the mind saw into how that self-hatred is just picked up and created right in this very moment. You don't get that kind of understanding by trying to think about history patterns and you know, trying to figure something out. That is really shown by the being with. So, and one other piece about this question that it kind of brought up for me, just briefly, I'll bring this up, is that there is a place for using our thoughts in practice. Now that I've said, you know, practice is not about thinking. I'm going to tell you how thinking can be useful in practice. So there's no one like right way here. So, you know, sometimes, especially if there's something that's really spinning for us, something that feels like, wow, that thing happened, and the mind just keeps chewing on it and chewing on it and chewing on it, and it feels like the mind just keeps going back and back and back, it can be really useful to take some time where you actually use that in a reflection. So what I would encourage in that kind of a situation is create some space where you're gonna let yourself say, okay, I'm gonna let myself explore that situation. So this thing happened at work, this thing where I blew up or said this thing, and what happened there. You know, it's like things happen so quickly in our daily lives. We don't really often get to see how the causes and conditions unfold. And so when you have some time later in the day, maybe, you know, at a place where you have some space, then you can, you know, sit down and just let yourself, you know, settle for a few minutes, let your mind settle with the breath or whatever settles you the most easily. And then consciously let yourself bring in or remember that situation. Now, the difference here, so you're letting yourself use thoughts here. You know, you're letting yourself kind of bring in a particular situation, but then you're not going to think about it. What you're going to do there is essentially having brought that situation into your mind, you're going to then, you know, a useful exploration is to then allow yourself to be with what comes up in the present moment, having brought that thought into your mind. How does it affect the body to have brought that thought into your mind? What kind of thoughts does it make your mind have? Where does it go to? So just kind of be curious about all of that. There can be some learning you might have about what happened in the situation, because, you know, thoughts are pretty powerful for us. So they're very evocative. If you remember something that happened that was challenging at a time when you know you've got some capacity, you know you've got some space, If you just bring that thought into your mind, it will evoke some of the same experiences, some of the same kind of body sensations, some of the same thoughts, perhaps some of the same kinds of things will come up. And then you might be able to see a little bit of what happened in that situation when it was going so fast. You might be able to unpack a little bit of what happened. Not by trying to think about it, but by letting yourself be in a space where you can bring up that situation and be with it while it's happening. I mean, while you're thinking about it. So sometimes I suggest with that you might bring in the thought, let yourself kind of recall the situation, take 30 seconds or 40 seconds to really remember it, you know, put yourself back in it, and then let go of the thought and take in, how are you now? You know, what kinds of thoughts are coming up? What's the feeling? And there doesn't have to be an agenda to solve it. It's more, again, it's more like, well, okay, this is the set of animals that are coming out. What can I learn from what the animals are doing right here and right now? You know, there's probably a lot of information that won't be available, but there's what is available. So exploring that side of it. So there is a place for reflective practice. There's a place for using thoughts in practice. It's just a little bit judicial, you know, to not go into a lot of thinking about causes and conditions, but more kind of the curiosity of what conditions can be revealed. What is the unfolding conditions that are revealed by being with just each moment, moment after moment. So I'm curious if there's any thoughts or comments or, yeah, Anthony.
Yeah, Andrea, I wanted to know, like, that was very spot on how you said about the first type of thing that we tend to do with the thinking, and that we grab onto that, and that's what's causing in the present moment self-hatred or whatnot. We grab onto that. Can you repeat that again? Because that was spot on.
Yes, yeah, so the thing that I saw in that moment was that there was a thought that arose of like, that thing happened, I didn't do that right or something. And then the mind picked it up and believed it. It's like, that happened. And oh yeah, it happened. And it was a problem. And so the mind kind of believed that, you know, it's like, I failed. Yes, I failed. It wasn't just the thought I failed arose in the mind and then passed away. It was like the mind picked it up and created a thing out of it. That was that moment of experience. That's what I saw in that moment. And it was very powerful to realize that the thought itself was just a thought. And it was the believing process that created the suffering, actually.
And you could say that's unwholesome, right? Because that has no value for us, right?
Yes.
In a way.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that in that particular case, the believing process was hooking to an unwholesome belief. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Anthony. Other reflections. Yeah, Tico.
So one of the ways that I use thinking in practice, I wanted to just describe and get your reactions to it, is what I will do is in the moment, so not so much as a reflective, the way you were describing it sometime later. But if my mind is spinning, I might think in the following way. I might kind of stop and say, oh, what is going on right now in practice, and kind of get a view of what's happening. And sometimes what happens is my mind will snap into a view that just settles like really fast. And it may not last very long, but it's a way that I use thinking to get some traction in the moment.
I use thinking in a similar way. And this is very much, the way Sayadaw Utejaniya teaches, he encourages using questions in particular. And that was a question, which you said, you know, what's actually happening right now or something. There's a kind of a framing it of as a question. So sometimes that can be really powerful. It can be really useful, especially when those questions are aiming towards wisdom. You know, sometimes the questions can be kind of aiming towards what's happening right now, what's actually happening, you know, as opposed to what the mind thinks is happening. So those kinds of questions are bringing some wisdom into the mind. There's some other kinds of thoughts that are useful too, that are more like wisdom reminders, that are like, this is nature. This is causes and conditions happening. So it's just like bringing the wisdom into the mind, and that can help the mind then to be able to hold something. If you're finding that there's a kind of a spinning at times or a kind of a struggle, then, you know, sometimes using some of those reminders and the reminders may, you know, there's certain ones that the Buddha encouraged us to use, like, this is impermanent. This is suffering. This is not me. This is not mine. This is not who I am. He actually encouraged those, and the way they're framed, they're with quotes around them in the text. And so it's kind of like, think these thoughts. So, you know, so there is an encouragement to use that kind of reflection as well. So that's using wisdom reflection. So it's a different form of reflection practice. So yes, those are very valuable. It's useful to recognize, first of all, not to get attached to a result from those, using those kinds of wisdom questions or reflections. You know, it's like, if we think that saying that question is going to put us into that state, that can create suffering. It's just more a kind of evoking or inviting. It's like inviting wisdom. Are you here anywhere? Are you available? So it's more of an invitation than an expectation. And then the other piece is to give yourself the opportunity with those questions. The best questions are the ones that direct you back into being with experience, rather than that direct you into more, what's here right now? Well, is it this? Is it this? Is that happening? So where the questions can tumble on. So that's a place to take some, to take some care with, sometimes a sentence is enough. There can be a lot of wisdom packed into a sentence, and and that's probably good enough.